at 4:04. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes. I trust everyone got to take a look at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make a motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now, the sheriff was kind enough to come and join us to answer questions. I understand I was not at the last meeting, but I understand he was asked to come and give sort of an overview of the department.
Yeah, a little bit. We did have some questions, I think, just in general about, like, the civil division. I know that I think the comptroller had previously done an audit, I think, in through there, and I think there was just some just generic, I think, questions about it, so.
That was the reason I sent the email out, so I could come prepared, so I have no idea what you're here for, so I would, tonight, take your questions, and I'll come back with the right people.
Okay.
Well, actually,
can I ask if I can be on the email list of all the minutes so I can see what happens at the meeting?
Absolutely.
Can I talk to the sheriff regarding our meeting last week or two weeks ago, whatever it was, and basically said, you know, he wanted to bring in various people for, you know, various topics regarding various audits. And I said, well, before you get that involved with it, why don't you find out exactly what we're looking for, what we want to do, what direction, and you come back and bring the people. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I did talk to him about what might be of interest to the committee based on our conversation we had the last meeting. And there again, it was a civil division. And
the whole fiscal unit, which encompasses.
And there was one other thing we discussed, which was in corrections, we started to talk about population, but again, I'm not sure how that works in an audit. I looked at CGR's, thank you, Amber, for sending that CGR's previous proposal, and then I went on their website, and they had some examples, and I actually pulled up one of the reports they did for, Chemung County. They did an analysis of their jail population, looking at all kinds of trends, not just from within the sheriff's control, things that have to do with bail and just a full population analysis. And in their report, then they made recommendations because in that county they were facing an overpopulation issue, which I know is not our issue, but still there's costs associated. Yeah. And so based on that, based on the report, they made recommendations with regard to bail reforms, alternative to sentencing, et cetera, that they suggested were going to result in a potential of 76 less prisoners a day. I don't have any gauge of how many people are in Chemung County's jail, so I don't know what percentage of a population that is.
Without looking, if
it's
I could
in
discuss,
the annual report that I submitted.
Chemung's is?
No, well, Ulster.
No.
Doing a comparison of us.
That would be incredible, right off the bat. Do you have any, and this is just offhand, this isn't even to share, do you have any idea what kind of bail reforms, because that is greatly dependent upon the individual judges.
Yeah,
the judges
sure.
can set, within reason,
I know.
Any bail they want. I mean,
yeah.
I know that we had an issue, it was actually Mr. Cajun brought in a concern over parole violators spending more time in our jail than in other counties.
Dutchess,
yeah. And the sheriff went back and looked at that, and it was because there was a city court judge who was setting very low amounts of bail on the, you know, on the crime that caused a violation, and then, you know, they were in our jail on the parole violation when if they would have just been RR, they would have been sent back to state prison, and the sheriff was kind enough to go and bail some of them out.
I think I don't know the figures off the top of my head, but I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, getting back to our original meeting while we're here today, I mean, I don't know if we want to continue with the civil area, and the sheriff can expand upon that and different areas that we can look at as an audit, or, you know, it's a completely different audit that we want to be looking at.
We can also move forward.
I mean, we have a half hour to have a discussion, so let's move this thing in area that way he's here.
It's for the sheriff. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you. Sheriff, just, I guess, to that end, and I do apologize for being away and not checking. So I guess I can also send you off my questions if that's easiest, I guess, via email, and then we can basically, you can then sort of just, you know, either respond either via email or to have you know, folks
right,
come
I'll
in our next
I'll
meeting.
I'll come back to the next meeting
okay.
with whoever will answer the questions.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason I chose, and along with Teresa, we chose the fiscal part, which includes the civil, is you can't buy a pencil without it having to go through their office. So shipping, receiving, anything to do with the sheriff's office, anything to do with the different division of the sheriff's office has to go through these people here. So every penny of our $32 million budget goes through that office, including payroll benefits. So they're looking for something.
So it's pretty comprehensive then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's three girls in there, and plus then the civil office is downstairs. But everything goes through... They're the fiscal girls upstairs and the civil downstairs, but it's really one division, the civil division.
But again, that's a. In my understanding, that's a fiscal office within your department. So it's like again checks and balances of, again dotting I's and T's. It's not a programmatic kind of analysis that we were talking about earlier.
Well, we could look at it as a program if there, you know, some way to do it more efficiently. I think we can look at that. Yeah, you know, I'm sure they would entertain that if it's going to be much more efficient to do something in that department.
But what are they doing? What exactly are they doing in that department? They're running...
So every dollar that goes through the sheriff's office has to go through the part of the civil office.
And what do they do with the dollar? What do they do with that dollar? They approve the spending?
No, all spending has to be approved. Well, it's a chain of command through the spending. All the requests come in, it goes to the first level supervisor, then to the next, and I have the final say on all spending. But everything's kept track through them. So they can answer.
The question becomes, there'd be more efficiencies on spending the monies? I mean, if you're doing it right now one particular way, is there another method that you can do or another avenue to look at to be much more efficient in that
area?
But
that office isn't making decisions about spending the money. That office
is... No, but I mean, that's what you're looking for.
I'm more interested in looking at a specific program, per se, and looking at the efficiencies in that program. And this isn't just for the Sheriff's Department. This is in Family of Woodstock or the other places we're talking about. For me, it's the difference from the numbers and cents kinds of audits of our typical auditor, that they go, okay, did all these dollars went in? Were all the right procedures? Were all the right controls in place? Do all the numbers add up at the end of the day? Yes, great. And that's important to do. But I'm more concerned about a programmatic approach, and I may be using the wrong terminology, but that's what I mean. I think you guys know what I'm talking about when I say it.
So where in the sheriff's department would you be looking for that sort of an analysis? Because it's not, we wouldn't be doing it on the sheriff's department.
Right.
We'd probably
be doing it
on a certain portion. You know, is it on vehicle and weapons procurement? Is it on, one of 100 things?
For myself, you know, I've spoken to a concern about, I mean, I haven't at this committee, but over time I've spoken to a concern about every officer having a take-home patrol vehicle, every one of those officers that are in that position having a take-home patrol vehicle. But I'm not sure that when we shake out what we're choosing to look at, that that's where we're going to end up going, and I respect that. I don't want to preempt the discussion, but maybe there's something that's the Chemung County example, maybe there's something in corrections where we could look at our jail, and do an analysis of our current jail population and get an understanding, and maybe it's through an understanding of what the population's made of. Maybe all this is very easily accessible. It doesn't need to go through this committee, but what the population, for example, do you keep a right now, if you were to look today, do you know... For the population, are you able to quickly come up with who's in the facility right now that's waiting unsentenced? Mm-hmm. How long have they been there versus who's waiting sentenced? How long are they serving? Who's waiting to be transferred to another facility? All that stuff is pretty quickly. And then that information, I think, would lead to and an analysis of how we're doing against other jails in terms of population. But I don't know. I'm open to. Hector was the one who brought the civil division first.
Well,
one
of the things, just to keep in mind about that. One of the things that drives the jail population is enforcement as well, though. So you're going to have big spikes and outliers when they do a large
it's
enforcement.
But it's not just enforcement, it's also
to your previous point, it's also what's happening with the judges and a backlog. I assume that there's a bunch of people waiting for trial, that's something beyond the control of the sheriff. But it is something that the information would maybe be able to affect change in terms of bail structure. I mean, I don't know. Are people how much is the bail that people are sitting in there under? Okay, Hector. Go ahead, Hector. Rolling your eyes.
I know that those are your issues, and I respect that, and I understand it. It's just, I know.
Okay.
we have. When I brought up and again, Sheriff, we're I'm going to send you my questions, you know, written, and we'll CC, you know, everybody. But you know, part of it dovetails back into, you know, an audit that was done by the comptroller, and that sort of like there were. To be very blunt, I think that there may have been some deeper level questions that could have actually been follow-ups to this, and that was probably more, you know, more where I think I was thinking of. And part of that is, Tracy, to your point, it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B in terms of some of what those questions were. So I'm not necessarily saying that we have to go and repeat the work of the comptroller, because his report was back in, I think, July of 2016. I think I have it here. Hold on. Yeah, July 27th of 2016, and I think he looked back at 2015. And so, you know, there were some follow-up questions from that, and that's probably what, you know, I'm thinking of. But part of it is a little bit of, you know, column A, column B. And I don't know whether or not these have been addressed, or even if they're real concerns or not. But, for example, on page 3 of the report, the comptroller makes a statement, the commissary bank account is managed by the junior accountant of the civil division. That unit within the civil, within the sheriff's office employed one employee that oversaw several bank accounts for a significant portion of her 30-year tenure with the county. Given the substantial length of time this one individual had sole control over these funds, the sheriff requested a review of the work. So meaning, was that addressed, right? Some of that is a little bit of the column A of internal controls, but then we sort of get into the column B of, you know, some of those things that, sorry, I won't be able to look at you. You know, some of how those monies are spent, and so that may be more of the programmatic piece, Tracy, that you're talking about. So, and I'll put these into an email for you. But that's the kind of stuff that I was thinking of.
Yeah, I was hoping when I left here today, I know exactly which part of the sheriff's office you're looking to audit.
Yeah.
So I know who to get on board and what kind of information. I always like to prepare before a meeting. So.
Yeah.
Tom, you had something.
Yeah, one thing you might examine is to what he put the core transportation. Which I think they're pretty sure, at least at one time, it was way out of whack because all the courts were meeting on the same days.
Yeah, some days every one of our transport vehicles are out on the road.
Yeah.
Did you say some days?
Some days every one of our transport vehicles are out on the road. Other days,
because the courts are all
might not be one that's out on the road. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, is there a way to, and so maybe a study could look into, could suggest alternatives?
I mean, a study like that, I mean, we could suggest to the towns that they change their court
list. Yeah, I was going
to
say, I think that's more of a study than an audit, though.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it also may be something, I mean, having information, and maybe that is more of a study than an audit, but maybe that's something that someone can undertake in discussions with the sheriff, because if we could advocate for ease for the sheriff's office in terms of coordinating with the towns, the worst that they could do is say, no, we're not going to change anything. But the best is they'll say, okay, we'll accommodate. We understand we're all,
right.
You know, we're all serving the same constituency. It's just a different pocket.
Might also be something to, you know, and this is, you know, I want to make sure that we stay on track
focus,
with the sheriff,
but
that might be something to bring to the Magistrates Association if we had a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. Does anybody else have anything else for the sheriff?
Not right now. Like I said before, I will email you so that way you got it hard exactly what the.
So am I leaving here thinking we're going to do the fiscal and civil end of the sheriff's office or the jail end? Or is there going to be more than one end?
just
need some information.
I want to audit all the bullets.
I'm not sure about the fiscal for me. I mean, I need to get a better understanding. Just because to me it sounds more like a dry kind of audit that. That we've done for, maybe that's even something that's more of Amber's expertise, the, you know, the strict financials, right?
Right.
That's what you said. So it's, and I'm not suggesting that we put that on Amber. I'm just saying,
oh, no,
I in reaching out beyond with the funds we have, I'd like to think about programmatic. I will think through, just kind of try to gather my thoughts from what I saw from CGR, and I'll reach out some, and I'll see if I could put whatever, since I'm the one who's bringing up
the jail population.
I'll try to put my thoughts into some kind of writing and circulate them to all of us.
Can you try to send us what CGR did?
Yeah, and I'll circulate it to everybody on the committee, including the sheriff.
Yeah.
Do you know what year they did that?
Did you have it?
No, but I'll find it. But she didn't send that. But it wasn't the Shemung one. It's on their website.
Okay.
And then I emailed them for the report.
Oh, yeah, that was the CGR one, was the budget analysis.
Yeah, I emailed them for the report, and they sent a report.
Amber, you had something for Tracy?
For the sheriff. Do the annual auditors pull invoices from you?
So they don't do an annual audit, but every time they do an audit, they pull invoices from us, yeah.
Right. So every time it's for the county, they do come and do that. So I feel like doing that might overlap.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a duplication of the current audit that already happens.
Okay. Right, and in terms of like the budget and the finance, everything's submitted through the budget process, so they go also through the procurement process, just through purchasing,
mm-hmm.
like every other department does.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's getting checked through the purchasing. We work extensively with Teresa, you know, in the finance department for all transfers, everything like that that's done through the budget process. But also all purchasing is going through Mark Ryder and the purchasing, so there's all the checks kind of there, too.
So they exist already. Yeah, so that's why I'm
just
not sure.
Yeah, so it's the same financial system, so they're...
But I'm thinking it's seeming like civil, I would think, is... Probably.
Unless I can make a compelling case.
Unless Martos can make a compelling case for the jail population.
Okay.
Which is good, too. Tell me two, three things.
No, I know you've always been.
Yep. So why don't we just focus on those three things for right now, you know, the corrections, specifically the, you know, jail population, the, you know, the fiscal side, possibly, and the civil side.
Okay. And you'll get it if you open up the annual report that everybody got as far as the jail.
Oh, yeah.
Transports are in there.
Yep.
You know, and it compares it from year to year. So there's a lot of information in that little disc.
Absolutely. I read through it. It's good stuff.
Yeah. That might save you from asking me the question.
Can I just on the transport issue, is that something that moving forward, not necessarily through this committee, that having the legislature work with you on advocating for change would be worthwhile? So that to make your
law enforcement should be doing it.
Yeah, anytime we get a chance to save somewhere along the line, we're willing to do it.
Honestly, if the Court of Appeals allows video arraignment, it'll save us a lot of...
And you know, the raise the age is going to take away a few of the transports, although it might add some longer transports.
Right.
We don't know where we're going to be housing these people.
Yeah.
So who knows? The court's out there talking maybe a regional court.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody might end up coming to our place and getting arraigned at our place. There's all kinds of ideas out there that they're kicking around.
In the report, do they have this? Does the report contain
I
know this may not be relevant, but does it contain the court dates of all the towns that you go to on a regular basis?
No, I mean, in other words, like Olive is on Wednesdays.
Right. Maybe can we look to get that?
Tracy, you know, it might be a court night. It might not hold court that night for, you know, the cases.
We may not need to send someone. I get that.
I mean, it'll be a court night, but it might not be.
But there might not be anyone from the county jail. Right. I know.
But you can see from year to year how many we did, what the mileage we put on the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you an idea whether it's sort of consistent or whether it's been spiked because of jail population.
Anything else? Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
It, Sheriff.
Do we have another date set or no, you guys?
Not yet. At the end of the meeting, I think we're going to talk about that. But when we do, I'll make sure you're told.
And I will be emailing you, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Wait up all night for it. All right.
No, I'm going to say I was out of town. I didn't get it.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
Take care.
Michael, welcome.
Hello. I think I'm supposed to be here. I'm not quite
sure.
Yes.
Hello.
I believe that I was not here last week. I'll be honest. Last meeting.
You're just using that one as your go-to move, isn't it?
But the committee had wanted you to come in and talk about Family of Woodstock and some of the contracts that you have with the county, and I think the committee might have some questions for you about the potential for auditing some of the programs.
Just to expand upon that, though,
please.
You know, we're trying to look at different areas where we need to do some audits, okay? Not that we have to, but we would like to. And, you know, like you said, the sheriff was here earlier, you're here now. I mean, you have a very vast array of programs.
We probably have the most contracts with the county of any.
Most dollars, too, probably, if you put it all together. Pretty close to it, anyway.
A lot of good service for the public.
There's no question, no question. And, yeah, there again, you know, is there an area that you think we should maybe be looking at more so than other areas that, you know, we're not that familiar with?
Well, you know, we follow the same premises with each of our contracts, and the agency is currently has 68 contracts with government departments. Certainly not all with you.
Mm-hmm.
So we report. I prefer to report on a monthly basis. The county now seems to want to be quarterly. I'm arguing against that because I think it's better for my staff to do their statistics monthly. When you wait till the end of 3 months, it's harder to do. The other thing is that there's a cash flow issue because, as an example, we now have 7-8 contracts that are quarterly. Let me be clear what that means to me. So in January, we were vouchering monthly, at the end of January, I would start a process, and by the end of February, I would voucher to you, and by the end of March, you would pay me. Currently, for all of those 7-8 contracts, the quarter goes by. At the end of April, I get in my voucher, and maybe by June 1st, it hasn't happened yet, I will get paid. Let me translate for you. That means that I have laid out 5/12 of all of those contracts with no reimbursement. That's really a problem for me. I'm going back to my bank to ask for more credit. It's not because we're losing money. It's because we're laying out money and the vouchering process has changed. So I would argue that we should be allowed to voucher monthly.
Well, who sets the policy regarding
that? Well, I think that it was set because of the issue around sales tax. They were concerned
on the contract.
Yeah. You know, and so in order to ensure that we not advance money more than we should. But you can set a 12th as well as you can set a quarter, and that would help me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I am about to approach the county executive to make it go back to monthly. But other than that, I mean, all of the contracts that we do with you are important.
Mm-hmm.
We take them all very seriously. I have some gross numbers I didn't bring. I can send you very detailed information about every contract if that's what you would like. And I can answer any question. Otherwise, I don't know what you want to hear.
Well,
please.
I guess the comptroller, I guess, is...
Yes, I received word, not initially, but I did receive word that we were being audited. And initially, I was told we weren't being audited, it was the county that was being audited. But actually, it's both of us. Because after they go to the county, then they're going to come to us to confirm that the information we gave the county was correct.
Okay.
There are 5 contracts that we've been told we're going to...
Yeah, it looks like it's... And Amber, is this your handwriting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so make sure I just... So... Looks like the independent living program,
mm-hmm.
right? Children program at Washburn,
mm-hmm.
family house, transitional living program, and then juvenile justice diversion services.
Well, that's fine. I mean, they're all good contracts. We do a lot of them.
But we've done them all perfectly, I know.
I wouldn't say that.
I
would say that we have backup for everything that we did do.
Sure.
I would really expect that.
When you say, Mr. Berg, when you say that the county is being audited and then family...
Well, for example, we got a call from probation asking mm-hmm. us there was some backup that they didn't have that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first indication I had that this was happening.
You didn't get a direct notice of this?
I did finally, but not initially.
It's in your packet too.
Yeah.
The comptroller is auditing BSS and
probation
and what he's saying is they're auditing the contract on the county's end.
And then they're going to go back
to family.
So initially I didn't receive notification, and I ran it to the comptroller and I said, usually when somebody audits us, they let us know. And then he sent us a letter documenting which contracts there were.
I mean, when this talks about reviewing and determining compliance with scope of services and adherence to Schedule NA, B, and contract, that's on family's end, not DSS's end, right? If the contract, it's on the end of whoever had the county has a contract with, right?
We have to give to the various departments that are contract with us proof of what we did.
Right.
So what the comptroller is doing is first looking at the proof that the county's holding, mm-hmm. and then coming to us to confirm that that proof is valid.
Okay.
So, you know, Rich, I mean, I know this came up as a, you know, Elliot sort of spot checking these sort of ones that I guess that are interfacing with DSS, and I guess in certain cases,
yeah, probation.
Actually, probation, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is there something? And again, you know, this is somewhat, I think, just for the full committee. And Michael, I don't know if you want to chime in on it or not, but you know, you run a myriad of programs to say the least. Clearly, the controller is kind of grabbing portions of them. You know, do we feel as a committee that we, knowing full well, I mean, this came out not recent, but fairly, you know, recent in terms
recent.
Of our, you know, in terms of our awareness. I, you know, this is May 8th, but you know, but we didn't know probably until, you know, I think last week, not even. I was going to say, right?
Well, the last meeting they brought it up at the last meeting. I mean, I think
they brought it up, but we didn't actually see which programs.
It was also in
we
his.
We did.
He did.
Yeah, we right. did. We saw, I mean, the last meeting, we saw which programs, and he said that it was related to children's, they were focusing on children. First he said they were looking at everything, and then he said we're looking at the children's programs, and he circulated this, because I asked for a copy of it, because I hadn't heard of it before, and it came, I think, off of, we as a committee were talking about family, because it's, because it holds a lot of contracts with the county. Mm-hmm. I mean, just in... being able to, and again, going back to what I'd said before with the sheriff, I'm most interested in programmatic audits, not the just checking the numbers against the end and making sure, because I assume that that has to happen. I assume that there are checks and balances, and I hope I'm right about that. But, and if we have a contract with an agency, as you said, you provide to the county evidence of the work completed, and you keep a record of the work completed, and we can check all that. But what I'm interested in is how is a program, any individual program, or we can look in a collection of programs, how is a program delivered against possibilities for the program delivered against how much we're spending on it. And that involves also looking at what other counties are doing. It's just it's a different kind
right.
of programmatic audit. I don't know where to begin. Maybe a list. I think it would help me, Amber. And that's something Amber gave a list of the numbers. Remember, and then Ken Cornell had a list of the numbers, and they were different depending because some were federal dollars
and
some were state dollars.
And did we actually get that straightened out? By the way,
I don't know. But it would be helpful to know all the contracts.
I did not do a schedule of the differences, but it was because of the pass through monies.
Yeah,
and mine was only a list of contracts.
Mm-hmm.
If I could respond to your question.
Sure.
This is a summary of the barest minimum of what we do in each of the programs.
Are these of the programs that Elliot's brought up, or all of
yes,
them?
Yes, all of my programs
oh,
are there, so they
great.
Include those.
Okay.
But that doesn't tell you that much.
No.
But if you were to look behind those numbers... as an example, in our shelter programs, we keep records on about 9 different things. Does the person connect to a doctor for health issues? Does the person connect to mental health if they need it? Are they dealing with substance abuse? Did they, what else? Do they have a criminal justice issue, and are they dealing with that? So if you want, I can give you backup that will take those numbers and will tell you how many of the 54 people connected to mental health, 36 connected to mental health, 15 connected to substances. I think that gives you more of what you're looking for in terms of how we impact upon a client's life. Mm-hmm. So if you want that, I could certainly send that to you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's is that easy?
It's easy.
Oh, okay.
If I have your email addresses, it's a click.
Okay. Okay. Right, or even
I mean,
to Amber.
It may be
well,
more than you
yeah,
want,
yeah.
but...
If,
no,
yeah,
it won't
if you
be,
send
yeah,
it to
great.
Amber, I think you have Amber's email.
If
from,
I don't, I'll get it from Amber.
But, yeah, and then she
yeah,
can disseminate
that, that's
it to
fine.
The rest
we certainly keep those records.
Okay.
And those summaries.
And I'm going to give this to you, Amber, to copy for everybody in
yeah.
the committee. Sure. I think that would, thank you. This
of course.
Is
so is there something specific about any of those contracts that you would like to know about?
Is there something that we should know
about?
We want to know
well,
I, mean,
I would say
yeah.
that what you want to know is that we're being effective. You know, that you're
mm-hmm.
getting worth
mm-hmm.
for your dollar.
That is, yeah,
that's the most important thing. That, you know, I would say that by and large, all of the contracts that we have with you are in addition, or almost with I think one exclusive, are additional to other contracts, and how we've functioned is to put together pots of money to be able to do a whole program. We use your money to virtually always to match state or federal money,
sure.
or even private money.
Mm-hmm.
And the only contract that I know of that you're paying for the whole of is the program called 180.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Which is a phenomenal program, and it's just... Now it's too good. It's taken off, and the schools now are using it for
yeah.
truancy. And so we're actually starting to have a waiting list, which we're not comfortable with. But it's a wonderful program, and it's been really successful. And what it says is that the younger you can connect to people that are having trouble, the more impact you can have on their lives. And so these kids that needed attention, needed somebody to take them by the hand, take them for recreation, take them, show them how to do stuff, forgive me. It's a terrible sound, but you're right.
It's
an
evacuator.
It's one of those kids.
You want to know what that is? That's Roger Spool, who runs Step One. And we're talking with them because OASIS, as a funding source, the Office of Substance Abuse, changed what they want to pay for. Historically, we did case management for people that had significant substance abuse issues, maybe were in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Then OASIS said, we don't want you to do that. And we want you to only pay for prevention that you go to kids and do it in the schools. So now, but this is a very valuable service, and programs like Bridgeback and Step One, if their client is homeless, call family. Well, now nobody's mm-hmm. paying us to do that for that client. So we're now trying to connect to do that as part of Medicaid, which I hate. But
mm-hmm.
I have to be able to pay for it somehow. So that's what that is.
Go on, Hector.
I'm waiting for the chairman.
Oh, I didn't see.
I will always wait.
Senator Rodriguez. Always?
Yeah.
Is that a promise?
Mm-hmm. So, Michael, this is not the top issue. This is not a huge, but... Just only because, to be very blunt about it, I have not served on the DSS committee in a while, and the Evolve program,
okay,
which was something that, you know, in the scope of all the many programs, probably recent by comparison, at least it's been what, maybe?
Oh, we've been doing Evolve for a really long time. We're running 8 groups a week now.
No, Papa, I'm talking about like even back when. It came up as a big issue, I think, back in, like, was it 2012? No, even before that, I think.
In terms of?
Well, no, I mean, basically, it's been so long since we've actually spoken about it as a legislature that,
well,
you know, it's...
We've been adding groups as we've been getting more and more referrals, and now we're running a women's group, which is true. So we run 7 men's group. We run 1 in Spanish. We run one that's bilingual, and then we run a women's group in Kingston, and we run a Spanish group in Ellenville. So we respond to what people present. We do not have a fixed curriculum, And the reason that we don't have a fixed curriculum is because we cover all the topics, but sometimes you can set out that you're going to talk about something, but it's not relevant to what's going on in the room. What's most important is to talk about what's going on in the room. What's happening for the people that are, why are they, you know, are they being driven to violence? Is there something happening? So we do it not by fixed curriculum, but we cover a lot of topics. We're also providing anger management to some probation because there isn't anger management on that level. There are anger management classes, but not for people that have real anger management issues. And so probation or parole wanted us to run an anger management group, but there's no money. And we find, you know, because somebody got arrested for being violent with somebody else doesn't mean that they're not being violent at home. So we find that the subject is pretty much relevant to all of the people that we serve.
And forgive my...
Success in the program is 39 sessions.
That's
33 sessions now.
Okay. Which so is, that representing about how long the time period?
Well, it could be as long as... Same person.
Another case.
Put it on vibrate.
Roger, I can't talk to you now. I'm in with the legislature, and I'll call you. Sorry. We started, it was 6 weeks. We found it was totally ineffective. We kept pushing it to the point where successful completion was a year. Then we kept getting more and more clients, and we didn't have any money.
Didn't have a year, yeah.
So we cut it back to 33 sessions. You have to attend 33 sessions. It could happen in 33 weeks, but generally it's more like close to a year that people... We allow people three absences in the first half of the program, three absences in the second half. So in total, it could be like 39 or 40 weeks to do the 33.
Okay.
Going back to 180, the reason for the waiting list, is it funding related? It's entirely
based on
funding?
We've got three staff
funding,
there
or?
Around the county, but now we're getting tremendous numbers of referrals.
Yeah.
Because there isn't really other programming for these kids.
Right.
You know, and so the program is being successful. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll go to the county executive and ask for more money. I don't know if he'll give it
to me. Well, we're the appropriators,
where is it,
so.
Where is it on,
you know, it doesn't hurt to be telling you that first, I'm sure. But I will say that I believe that this program is really, really valuable. And the reason that I say that is because we're dealing with 7 to 15-year-olds.
I believe that that's 138 on the list, the Juvenile Justice Diversion Services. Is that...
Oh, yeah, 7 to 17, yeah.
Is, right. How, is
yeah.
it $110,000?
Yes, yep. It is.
That's it,
yeah.
So how many children do you serve?
We probably will serve in the neighborhood of 75 this year.
75.
I
and how are they? How do they get to you? Like, how are they referred?
Probation refers
directly?
Them to us. Initially, this was kids that had a misdemeanor or a felony. 7 to 15-year-olds that had a misdemeanor or a felony. Now, the schools have started to use the program, and so there are kids that aren't doing that, but they're not going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And if an 8-year-old isn't going to school, we have a problem.
Yeah.
So the less we have to deal with, the better, if we can put a kid back on the right track.
I believe it's also the intention to use this program in the anti-cyberbullying realm.
Yeah.
As
yes.
Well.
In fact, in fact, Kingston's been doing that.
Yeah. And so, you know, so like the DASA... DASA violations also may be, you know, referred to this program.
And your cyberbullying
specifically
highlights it in the narrative.
Yeah.
And how long is the program?
The program can be as short as 6 or 8 weeks.
Without
it
giving a name...
It's averaging between 2 and 3.
2 and 3 weeks?
Months.
Without using names, can you give us an example of how the program would... go for someone who commits a petty crime as a
well. All right. So a young person can commit a crime. They're 8 years old. They're 10 years old. They're 11 years old. Probation doesn't want to make them a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
They will refer them to the program.
Mm-hmm.
We have trained about 20 some people that we are representatives of what we call the juvenile accountability boards. Mm-hmm. These are people like yourself that are willing to meet with a kid. Generally, three of them meet with a kid. What did you do? Who did you hurt? How did you hurt yourself? How did you hurt your family? What are you going to do to make it right? And then the committee sits with the young person and develops a plan to make it right. Then our staff person takes the kid and spends about 2 months with them. And it's not just the details of the plan. I mean, there's some recreation, there's connection to the family, there's a lot of work that gets done to make the young person connect again.
Yeah.
And then when that's been accomplished, they come before the same juvenile accountability board. The thing that really strikes me about it is when a young person goes before the board in the first place, it's like, it's like that. Mm-hmm. And when they're like this, they've redeemed
they're
themselves.
Yeah.
They really made a difference, and they accomplished it. So that's a huge thing for them to change their dynamic. That's what this program's really about. I was shocked at how successful it was. I mean, I'm a total believer in restorative justice now. You have to give people the opportunity to be okay and to make it right. And that's what we're doing in this program. I would like to do it more. I'd like, you know, we're trying to do it with older kids. It's harder because you have bigger, you know, like they have substance abuse crime now,
yeah.
and the system doesn't want to just pass that off. So it really is that the earlier we can reach them, the better.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to show results forever.
Tracy?
When you say that your people work with the youth for two to three months, is that on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? Like what is that?
It's not on a daily basis, but it's a couple of times a week generally. You know, I didn't know which programs you wanted, but if you would like, I would bring the staff or the leadership of that program. I don't do it every day. I'm very proud of it, but I don't have the kind of nuts and bolts information that I think would be of interest to you. I'd be happy to do that if you want.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure where we, like, how we drill down
into this.
What we choose.
That's the whole point here. I mean, what are we looking for? What are we doing? I mean, he's offering.
I'll do anything you want.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
that.
the
different programs. I mean, we're looking at something completely different. I mean, are we looking to be if that program is efficient? I mean, is that our aim here? I mean, I'm starting to lose track where we're going with all this.
Well, there's a lot of different ways we can go with it. That's the question. You know what I mean? It's also going to be a question of resources because we only have a certain amount of funding allocated, so we're going to have to make decisions. But it's a lot to digest and to try to figure out. Do we drill down into a couple of programs? Do we look at the contractual as a whole? I don't know.
I would just like to say that I'm glad you're asking these questions. I'm very worried about when you have to make decisions and pick and choose who you're going to fund and who you're not.
Mm.
I mean, I've never wanted to compete with my sister agencies, but I think that it's coming to the point where not everybody's going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to believe, and I do believe, that we're the most cost-efficient thing that you have. And so the more questions you ask, I feel the better we're going to look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of that becomes, you know, with what's behind these, just so you understand, Ms. Berg, you know, that part of it's also, from a performance standpoint, are there things that we can be doing better, right? And that comes down to, so, you know, once, you know, for example, once you start talking about evolve on one end, then we start talking about, okay, fine, you know, how are we doing with putting folks into shelter, right? How are we handling all these DV cases that, you know, that you've got, right? And so therefore, you know, is there something that, not to go make comparisons, but, you know, what's Grace Smith House doing? I know that they're a different type of you know, group.
Yeah.
I understand that.
I'll tell you the thing that worries me the most about.
But we had those kinds of, you know, but I'm saying.
Is that immigrants won't go there anymore?
What's that?
The people, immigrants are not seeking service anymore. They're not going to go to a domestic violence shelter. I hate to say it, but it's really true. And we're not the only ones. It's all over the country. The fear of being deported is holding people back. Now, you know, if they come to my shelter, I'm not going to let anybody touch them. But they're not going to get there because they're afraid. And we're seeing this in a lot of different areas. I think that's certainly an issue.
Okay, but what I was just talking about specifically, and mind you, that's a separate thing to talk about, just so you know. File that away.
Okay.
You know, we may want to be looking at what other organizations are doing, if there's something that we could be doing better on one of these larger contracts where we kind of see that there's a greater cost center.
That would be great.
Right? So,
I mean,
we're
trying to do a good job.
No, of course.
If you have an idea for us to do it better, I want it.
But you're, I don't know, but I'm saying, but you're already doing so much and you're already so invested and you're already so sort of so stretched, you know, so just so you understand, even with this committee, it may not necessarily be like, oh, we're looking to go and cut that program or do something like that. Like, no, it may be a matter in which we're looking at holistically, like, okay, fine, how do we sort of help this agency deliver this program better? So,
I totally
in certain cases,
support that more.
Mm-hmm. We're fairly open ended in terms of what we can do with this. So,
I'm at your disposal.
Preach it.
Tell me what you want.
Michael, is there something there that you would like us to look at more closely?
I haven't thought about this, so I would almost like to come back and say, respond to that, rather than do it casually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, maybe we can all reflect in the interim as
absolutely.
Just like with the sheriff, and be more specific with you.
Yeah.
So that if we need questions answered, you can come back.
If you know something you want to know,
with this information that you provided us, we're going to get that to the committee, and then we can take a look at that and weigh your comments and things of that nature.
I will say that this doesn't have to be a one-time thing, and because we're so broad, I would be willing to come to committee meetings and bring the specific people that are doing the work in the particular area if we identify it ahead of time.
Okay.
And I think that you would get more information. I certainly
know
a lot about my programs, but they know a lot more.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
So I'd be happy to do that.
Does anybody have any other questions for Mr. Berg?
Can you go to the website?
No.
No? Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
If you decide on something that you want to talk about, or a specific contract or two, let me know and I'll bring the staff.
Definitely.
I certainly would bring the 180 staff if you want to know more about that. We're very proud of that program. And I have to say, no matter where I am, when I talk about the 180 program, it always ends with, and our county felt it was important enough to pick it up. And I'm really, no.
I appreciate that.
I don't think that there are many counties that value the work enough to do that. And it's not a small thing to me. I mean, we work very hard, but so do you. And the fact that you recognize what we're doing and are willing to, I'll send this to you, and are willing to step up when it's important, that's really motivating for us. I mean, it made a huge difference for us. We thought we were going to lose a very valuable program, and there was nothing we were going to be able to do about it except go out and try and fundraise.
Yeah.
And we were doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And also think of something you want us to look at.
Yeah. Yes. I'll even talk to our staff about it. Good idea.
I appreciate it.
Nice seeing you.
Thank you. Nice
Michael.
To see you all.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Amber, can we get copies of this before we go?
Okay. All right. So... next, we have discussion on potential testing and test parameters for some of our areas of interest. Anybody have anything on those four items? I know we just dealt with two of them.
Well, even the other two have some. You know, I know with mental health, I know the controller, I think, was planning on doing something. I think she'll look at the audit report again, but I know it's looking somewhat, I think, into mental health, Ulster County, but part of that just becomes that overall, like, you know, are we not just that the outcomes from the changeover that basically has been now so many years in the making, but also, you know, looking at what's happening in other counties. So I know that, but I don't know. I think Elliot may be doing the first part of that. I don't think he's doing the second part of that.
Wasn't Ken talking about bringing, Ken Cornell talking about bringing this committee also to mental health to actually see what they're doing.
Should we go and follow up with him as to when he's doing that?
I feel like we should try to coordinate that sooner than later.
Okay.
Maybe, because I don't know.
I'll speak to him.
Because, he has said that not this committee, but the legislature, when we bring up the privatization of mental health, that it's basically a misnomer, that we're talking about something different, that we need to really understand the program. You know,
But there's also the flip side of, you know, while I'm not here, I don't speak about it in a pejorative way, but we clearly, you know, made a changeover. And that just becomes a matter in which you've taken somebody from a county worker to a nonprofit worker, and now you've got, you know, how many cases per counselor. And so, you know, we do want to at least just understand sort of just the repercussions of what actually just went down. So,
Well, how would you want to measure that?
I'm not going to claim I have all the answers on that.
Okay.
No. I mean, like, part of it. Well, I mean, the problem becomes quite candidly, you know, you're getting into some dicey waters because you're talking about actual cases, and in terms of measuring outcomes of did the situation improve, stay the same, you know, get worse, right? So part of that becomes somewhat of a judgment call, as well as, of course, you know, whoever's sort of filling out the paperwork on the path. Now, theoretically, our counselors, well, no, theoretically, our staff psychologists are the ones who are still sort of like in process here because they're still signing off on treatments and everything else in between. We still maintain the staff psychologists. They're just working with mental health Ulster County.
Right.
So the actual psychiatrists are. Yeah,
they're still on staff.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying versus psychologists.
Sorry.
Yeah, psychiatrists.
Forgive my I'm a little tired. I apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize. I just clarified.
But yeah, no, that they're probably the ones who can probably best guide us, and so maybe that's the best way to kind of ascertain whether or not we sort of feel like this is worth pursuing or not. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I mean, like, we still have 3 on staff? Is that what it is, or 4?
I know one of them is vacant right now.
Yeah, I think it's 3. But
three,
check,
right?
We'll get it for you.
We
can check. Okay. I mean, in terms of family, just for a second, let's back up. Please. Has there been an actual audit of all the contracts of family ever? Or
From the comptroller's office?
From anywhere.
Well,
from the county.
Oh, emanating from the county. I was going to say, because I mean, I'm sure they've probably been audited
by the feds
of the state
stuff.
Or whatever. But, yeah. From the county itself? Didn't Elliot do one before this recent round? For some reason, I thought he...
I had to look.
He did do something.
I mean, I hate saying it like this, but like, didn't he do something? I'm pretty sure.
He did do something, yes.
That's very imprecise.
And I can send that to everyone.
Okay.
But do you remember the topic?
Oh.
Ballpark of the topic?
Washburn?
No.
It might have been an accumulated sum of the...
You know what it was? It was one of his, you know, who has contracts with the county reports. And it was, it was one of his addition projects where he adds up all the costs and then puts it out.
Because counter to my...
Okay. Is that the one
repeat
that he published all the staff salaries in?
I'd be interested to find that out.
Counter to my, repeat mantra of wanting to look at things programmatically, if there haven't been bona fide audits done of these contracts, we should at least entertain...
Like a financial audit?
Yeah, we should at least entertain the potential of doing that with, because that's something I know we've heard in the legislature, a lot of money going to families.
You're not going to be able to do them all. I mean, you're going to have to choose which areas you're going to look at and pick a few.
Well, I mean, which is why we get into, I mean, look, they have certain large cost drivers, right? You know, you can scroll down through the 2017 contracts alone, right? And see, that's why I ended up That's partly why I ended up kind of like pulling Evolve and then going back to Shelter, because at a certain point they have to go and house people who have been affected by DV, so by domestic violence. And I don't know which of these programs they're actually kind of going into, but you know you've got certain larger ones, and housing is always going to be one of those like large cost drivers. So you do begin to sort of like look and say, okay, fine, you've got that as like one of their largest, $1.5 million.
Well, you've got
right?
You've got the Washburn House, which
yep.
is our domestic violence
yep.
shelter,
yep.
and then you've got the homeless sheltering and the case management that goes along with it. I know, I believe that the homeless shelters is entirely state and federal funding, I think.
I don't think that we're putting
we're
county
any,
dollars
any county dollars
into
that,
because
I don't know.
But I know that the Washburn House were paying county dollars.
I mean, like, them. I mean, like, so for example, like things that are like mental health pass through OMH, like, oh wait, I'm not going to go after that. I mean, that's generally speaking, that is state money, right?
But that doesn't mean we don't want to know in terms
look,
of
no, program. No. But that gets into the whole.
That's the question.
How is he delivering? How is he delivering programs? And can he be doing it better? And then we get into, well, you know, what are those best sort of examples? Here's another harsh reality. I don't know. You know, really, none of us is experts on this particular mm-hmm. stuff, really. Mm-hmm. Well, except for you, Rich.
No, you're not, an expert. Definitely not. No.
You know, being able to housing. There you go. But you know, I mean, like, you know, this is where. And I don't want to be in the position of kind of just like, you know, kind of taking random shots and saying, oh, we're going to do the following contracts, or
right.
or that we're going to go and say, oh, well, we should be looking at what Dutchess, Orange, you know, Sullivan and Green are doing. Well, you know, regionally, to be very blunt, maybe they're doing some great stuff, but maybe they're also all doing the same stuff that we are, and there is more, you know, there is true best practices somewhere else. And that's where we're sort of flying blind from our end. And I don't know if I really want to go down that road of trying to look at best practices, you know, statewide on something that is sort of amorphous for all of us.
Well, you know, something like...
You go and say that?
I do, but something
like what?
The Darmstadt and the Family Inn, that might be something where looking at how other counties do it, because not only maybe there's a more...
Which
maybe
one?
There's a...
The first
homes.
Two. Yeah, and drilling down on the numbers. I mean, these numbers are helpful, but I don't know how many rooms there... You know what I mean? He's got 134 men, 74 women for 6,149 nights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they're in separate rooms.
One night per person.
But if they're a married couple, could they be in the same room? I don't know. And how many rooms does the facility have?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, all those things... go
and is there
toward
another
understanding
county that
a
does
picture.
It that does their homeless shelter
sure.
system in a more cost effective mm-hmm. way, and not even just you know I know you know I come from the right, so I'm always coming from a cost effective manner, but in addition to the cost effective, if you do it more cost effective, you may be able to serve more individuals who are
right
now
sure.
being underserved.
Sure.
No,
and
I think we're I think we
overlook.
In this committee we. On some level, we have to all be coming at it from a cost-effective manner, at least a little. You know what I mean? We're the audit committee as a division of,
well,
you know what I'm
think.
Saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
So you'd think. I mean, even looking at the 180 program, which I would like to learn more about, just I did the with the calculator while he's talking, and based on the numbers he gave us here, that's $1,466 a person
mm-hmm.
for the program.
Yeah.
So that then goes to, it's a great program, but can it be delivered at a lesser cost?
Maybe,
or
but the cost. You know, but one thing to think about with that is that the cost is way less than the cost
mm-hmm.
of incarceration.
For sure.
So, you
or
know,
even,
especially in a youth
or even,
in a secure
or even
facility,
putting them through the court through
mm-hmm.
the court's proper,
through the court,
right?
Through the court. You know, I mean, what it seems to me is
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and this is what I've been told and what I've observed from what Michael said. You know, that they get picked out during their probation screening
mm-hmm.
as a case that could be dealt with
better
outside
diverted.
Of... Yeah, better, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
which
diverted.
Is great. I'm
exactly.
all for
and
diversion for sure,
right.
but...
I have 15 minutes left.
Okay.
Okay.
People get to mark. One thing that I wanted to bring up to the committee, you know, I had a meeting with some folks, it was before the first meeting of the audit committee, with some folks from the executive's office, from Public Works, and Gary Newkirk, who's the director of the fair. And Gary, for years, has been trying to get a longer-term lease
mm-hmm.
for the fairgrounds. The county's been not as receptive to that as he would like us to be. And one thing that came up in the meeting is that the county, in the contract, doesn't receive any proceeds from the fair. We received proceeds from
the lease.
Everything else. No, in the lease, we've received proceeds from
all other events.
All of the events, except for the fair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know
and
what the total of what we receive for the lease is?
I don't, offhand.
That would be good to know.
But one of the things that we want to look into, and something I'm going to have Amber working on, is going down to look over their financial statements that they have done every year in order to determine... how much, we don't know how much money is generated from the fair. We don't know what their vendor fees are. We don't know, you know,
Why don't we get any money? I've heard this before. What was the rationale with that in the contract? With not,
I think that the rationale is that they do capital improvements on the property, and that those capital improvements eventually benefit the county because the county retains ownership of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And it all, I would think it, you know, it will always be used for a fair.
Right.
So I think that that's part of the rationale that went into it, but this is long ago. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's been pretty much the same contract over and over again.
How long have we been in contract with them?
Oh, since you started.
Way before I started, I think.
Oh, way before, yeah.
No, but wait. Were we in?
Yeah, it was before.
Were we in contract with them, though?
Richard,
yes.
How long?
How long? I guess I don't know.
It's,
you tell me then.
Substantial years. I don't know exactly. but prior to myself being involved.
And what do other counties do? Just out of curiosity, something, a place like Dutchess County, are they in contract with their with an ag division, or is it an arm of the county government?
I don't know
running
about
everything.
I don't know about Dutchess County. I know a couple of years ago, Orange County's Agriculture Society backed out of the fair.
Wow.
The Orange County Farmers Museum brings their stuff to our fair because they felt that Orange County's fair had become too commercialized. It wasn't an old country fair anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Ours still is.
Dutchess is too.
Yeah.
Even though it's substantially bigger, but it's
yeah.
a mega farm.
Yeah, it's a mega
fair. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. And Orange County's actually been that way for years. But yeah. So, all right, I mean.
So I just wanted to let you guys
yeah.
know that.
That's fine.
You know, from a financial standpoint, that's something that we're doing. And another thing I'd like to suggest as we're going over these things is, and this is also a suggestion that came in a discussion with Amber, the family court renovation out at the BRC. Amber's got a list of costs and cost drivers to watch as the contract as the building moves forward.
Have you appointed that committee yet?
I haven't appointed it yet, and I don't think that, did you appoint your members? Well,
oh, really?
Congratulations.
Come on.
We're gonna. Yeah, it's not
okay.
moving yet. The project really right now. We're
no,
still.
I
think they had like 6 or 8 months in design and.
I know we do have time.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad Amber is going to be with us on that. I mean those numbers are concerning to me in general.
Yeah. So that's something that
the estimate was a little bit,
and that's an actual financial audit. So I wanted to bring it to the
okay.
I wanted to bring it to the audit committee.
To talk about soil and water about
yes.
how we proceed with that, whether as suggested we run it through and they pay for it, or we can go over that.
Well,
but
does that also though get into though from a performance standpoint, just kind of like, you know, viewing what they do and what how it's run in different counties?
Like I mean I feel if
you're
gonna
kill Gary.
I just exactly.
Well, okay, you know
that's,
what though?
I think it's too much. I mean, I think we got to do first things first,
Gary,
and that's first thing needs
yeah,
to be a real audit.
Gary's,
I think
Gary's
it'd be overwhelming
it
to do a bona fide audit plus a performance audit plus
yeah.
a you know.
I
just think it's
I think we need to do it incrementally as
one
okay.
then the next.
I completely disagree. That's
okay.
We need a financial audit first.
You also have there are things that happen over there. We're on the record. Keep quiet.
Yeah.
Talk about it later.
Yeah, but
later.
I think of the financial audit first. So the plan was to go for the board to go out, but that's now on me to, you know, go ahead and go out to bid, which I don't feel really ready, qualified, and able time-wise. So the county could help me do that if the finances are going to run through the county. You know, Mark, the suggestion was that we run it through the county, but we be fully reimbursed for it by soil and water, which seems to me one way to work it. If it's not going to be something that Amber's, because I know last time you had Don look at everything initially, so I don't know if you wanted to suggest Amber doing it, but I kind of feel like an outside audit would be great just to, like, once and for all be done with it. We've been
so
talking
too.
About it for so long.
And
you
think
and I
that,
have
you
been
know,
on the record asking for it for a long time.
Amber definitely has the skills and qualifications to do it, but I think that with Gary and with the relationship with the county, I think it's going to be cleaner if we have an outside organization do it. Plus, you know, doing an audit, the kind of which we're going to want there, which is going to be multiple years, is going to take an enormous amount of her time, just as one person. I feel like it's something better suited to
have. It'll be fairly quick and, just straightforward, I think. So maybe we could pull back up the notes.
I'll be a nova.
Maybe we could pull back. Well, what do you mean?
What
would the vote be?
I
you don't get a vote on it.
Well, I don't know. We're making
some.
Well, she's talking about the soil and water paying for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's different. I'm talking about that. But in terms of, but just, whatever.
I will tell you, I served on that board.
And I've served on it as well in previous years, and I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, and I wanted the, I mean,
when
we served together, we wanted, and there was a commitment to make it happen from the legislature paying for it, and that didn't happen. So now here we are, which I've stayed on the board to make sure that I could help see this through.
Yeah. Well, I have it on good authority. They've got $700,000 burning a hole in their bank
account. Yeah. So I would like to just get it, I would like to get it underway and get it completed. And then there's other, I need to talk to you about the board members separate because it's not audit committee business. I don't know what it says. So we need a new appointment.
So is there anything else that anybody wants to discuss auditing, or should we move forward with these two?
Well, we're going to go, and I'm going to show up questions to the sheriff, and I think that there may be other pieces. That
you'll copy the rest of us, too.
Yeah.
And I'll do the same. And then I'm frankly, for family, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. I'm going to have to try to
take
this
at it.
In and then take in what Amber gave us, in what they gave us, think through, maybe reach out, ask, make some phone calls and come back to the committee either in person or through emails to everyone, which I'll probably send to Amber to distribute to the group, including Michael, if appropriate, or whatever.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Tom?
Yeah, I mean, when Evolve first started, all the other counties, I don't know if this is true right now, but all the other counties were charging the offender for the services, and we were paying for it in our county.
I believe, by the way, that, and I remember this came up, I think, actually as an issue even at the time when we discussed this, I believe that there is... There's still obviously an issue of that we're making payments, but I think they are supposed to be making a contribution themselves.
I don't know.
And actually, that's one thing I forgot to ask
all the other
Michael,
counties,
Michael Berg.
All the other
counties,
it comes out of their pocket.
Yeah.
Fully comes out of their pocket.
I believe so, but this is dated. I don't,
No, no, no.
Most
and
of my information
right.
is dated and anecdotal.
Well,
you know?
My question on that would be, are they sentenced to the program, or is it a voluntary alternative to incarceration? Because if it's a voluntary alternative and it works, I feel like requiring them to pay for it is going to decrease the
Absolutely.
Amount of people that participate.
I also think it's potentially unfair to families that can't afford it because
and
it becomes an issue then.
I tend not to feel quite exactly that way on things like that because the offender has to pay for an interlock device if they violate Leander's law. And you know, it's a DWI with a child in the car.
But that's an adult. You know what I'm saying? These are children.
No,
Evolve is domestic violence.
Okay, I was thinking back to the 180.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's what I'm like.
Yeah, no, we're not making kids pay for
the 180
program.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking
about. Wow, Trace, that.
Yeah. Okay, so you could appreciate my.
I like it. No.
My concern.
That's heartless. That's true.
Okay, I'm coming around.
Richard, did you have anything more that you'd like to see us take a look at?
I know we have a lot on the table here. I mean, we got to try to narrow it down to that we can come down to it.
I think that's the goal of to search ourselves and come back to the table with some narrowed down ideas.
So
can I just ask you a question about the narrowing down for one sec? Because Richard, earlier you said that we're going to have to narrow it down in terms of family. Just does anyone have a sense if we were to go to an RFP for a full audit of all the county's contracts with what
of all of them?
Yeah, what are we talking about? I mean, I don't know how much money that would cost.
I'm not putting you on the spot, Amber, but $9 million worth of contracts to do.
Yeah,
you're talking about
different contracts, though. You're not talking about
$9 million.
I mean, you got how many different contracts you have? 27. They're about 30, thereabouts?
I didn't add them up.
Well, whatever it is, but I mean, it's not just the $9 million. It's individual.
Right, it's different contracts.
Also, on top of that, I mean, if Elliot's theoretically doing five of the...
It's a totally different... He's approaching from a different angle.
20 difference? Okay.
I mean, I don't think our budget's going to allow us to do that.
Not
that could be wrong.
Well, I mean, we pay less than $100,000 for the audit of the county's budget as a whole.
Not the amount.
Yeah, but they're
evaluation
just,
of the program.
They're not doing an evaluation. You know, the annual audit doesn't evaluate the programs. The annual audit,
No, that's what I mean.
A more
straight up audit.
We spent a dollar.
Right.
That's, and we don't do it on every single program of the county. We do it on the budget, and the annual financials, the annual financial statements. You know, there's the CAFR, the certified annual financial report.
Yeah, there's something like the RRA.
The DOT single audit. Every year we audit the UTASC. We audit the RRA.
Yep.
There's a list of several things that they do as part of the audit, but it's not something like we're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know.
And that costs, and that isn't even what we're talking about, and costs $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
in that vein.
Yes, in that vein. Next
meeting. We have $100,000, and that is, that's sort of, I think, like our limit, clearly.
Yep.
We also have to kind of be thinking about, what's really within our reach, both I think as a committee, but also in terms of the amount of money we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
Agreed.
Well, why don't we look upon
a
couple right now,
but
and do that, get
and
it going,
do that and figure out.
And see how it works, see if it's what we're looking to get out of all this, and then, maybe 4 months, 6 months from now, come back and maybe do a couple more. I mean, you're not going to be able to do 10. Yeah, I mean, it's overwhelming.
Well, no, I get what she's saying. With the amount of money you may end up, though, even in an ideal, scenario, you'd probably have to blow through the whole 100,000, I think, to probably actually do what we're looking for all the families. So, I don't know. But
yeah, and I'm personally interested in the programmatic stuff, especially whereas it relates to, the benefit of looking at some of the sheriff's program is they're largely county dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and also counties do
so
certain
efficiencies
things,
are much.
So
are,
you can compare.
We're going to feel better.
Yeah. I think you can also compare apples to apples pretty more directly in terms of if for some reason, for example, and I'm not trying to say that this, I'm not trying to prejudge, but let's just say we look at the civil division and we've got some of it maybe internal controls. Fine. That's a pretty set standard thing to kind of go and say you need to improve this. But you can also look at, how is it handled in Dutchess or how it's handled in a couple of set number of counties, as opposed to, I think, when it comes to family, I think you are talking about, like, in certain cases, probably national programs or even, statewide programs that mm-hmm. could be used for comparison's sake, and you could go really far down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What's the code here?
I don't know what's up with that. I keep on typing in
the
Wi-Fi.
It's
not
booting me. No, it booted me out. So now I need to put in a new one. Does
not
anyone know?
Can we have an audit? Can we have an audit of the Wi-Fi password? Because for some reason it's not working.
Yeah, I'm going to get out
of that. So I had asked earlier about when our next meeting is.
Yeah. What's everybody's availability? Do you want to try to schedule it for... Well, caucus night's going to be at the college.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's
going to
be crazy.
Let's not go there. That's too much.
Why don't we do it that night? Earlier.
We could do it.
Rich.
Earlier. Yeah, maybe I could do earlier. When is that?
Either that or...
Isn't it a Monday?
It's a Monday.
Yeah. It's a week from Monday.
Yeah.
They got food there.
The 12th.
Don't worry about it.
When did I become Frank Villasella?
I didn't mention anything like that now.
Rookie, we'll give you a wrap.
So.
Yeah, I could do that. Earlier.
4 o'clock?
Yeah, whatever. What time do we start?
5.
I was going to say, that's the...
We could do 3:30.
Whatever you want.
Let's do 3:30.
Okay. 3:30 on the 12th at the college.
Well, providing we have some information
that
we'll move forward with.
Well, that's also
it's my wife's birthday, you know.
What's that?
2 weeks away, right?
You can invite her, tell her there's wraps.
We'll put a candle on it.
We'll put a candle on a cookie. It's all right.
Do you know the code?
I have stickers.
It should be where it should be where it's 2013.
They did a service and everything was reset.
That's why. And yet that was not disclosed to the legislature.
That should work.
The guy.
He didn't say. He didn't write it down.
He didn't write it down?
No. He just put it down his name. He didn't put down where he's from.
What's his name?
I don't know. Oh.
I recognize him from the fire. He's been coming to the
Gary Pennock.
The fire, the burn set, the burn tower hearings.
Yeah, his name is familiar.
He's been coming to the burn tower.
Yeah, that's what it is.
The burn tower or training center.
It's the training center.
It's
the
burn tower.
Hey, you know what she means?
That's what I thought she meant. Yeah. I thought maybe she's Chuang on the burn towers. Yeah.
No.
The burning tower of Volsen.
Well, that's
it's going to be in your backyard, Tom.
Fine. I got a big backyard.
Thank you.
They're going to get the water from your sink.
It's quite all right, too. I got a lot of water. Let's go to the
restaurant.
All right,
so we done here? Time? 3:30?
3:30 at the college. We're going to secure a room. We'll let everyone know where it's going to be when we get a room.
And you might have the sheriff there. You might have Michael there.
Depending on
what we have.
Let's at least get... Because at least if we're providing... Now, the problem is... Not a problem, but at least... You know, I'm going to show off my questions to the sheriff, but he's not going to answer them. He's not going to reply. He's going to just have his people come to the next meeting and then just respond to them.
Right.
Which is not a really quick process. Gosh, that's like a, you know...
Sales.
Well, you got an hour and a half.
Well, maybe
we're
could ask him to...
We're not at that meeting.
Let's see what the questions are, and why don't you ask for answers and
I'll see if he'll provide
some
of it.
I feel like on some level we need to. I appreciate the input from both departments and any departments we're talking about, but I think that ultimately we need to make the decision versus asking them what we want them to look at.
But they got to enlighten us on their program.
Right.
I have no idea what some of these programs are, what they do.
It's been a really long time, I think, since any of us have probably served on that committee. You know, it's...
I got a number of things that I'd like to for you to consider. Who should I email it to?
Right there.
Email it to Amber, she'll get it to the committee.
And like I said, most of it's anecdotal. I know from a guy that told a guy, you know, like that. But I mean, there's people in Woodstock getting cabs going to Ellenville for treatment they could pick up in Kingston.
Oh.
Yeah.
Things of that nature.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's an interesting...
I know that guys in Albany, they would go to a doctor's in Albany, and they make their appointments when the bus don't run. So they get...
So they can get the Medicaid cabs.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot we can do on
that
because the
nature.
State
you know,
took
just,
over the administration of that program, but I agree with you.
No, I'm just... These are things I know about that or think about. And you just consider them.
Absolutely.
Like the
prevention
program is terrible. You're doing it. The drug prevention program.
Yeah.
It goes up every year. And I don't know what we're paying for it, but, you know. And it's community services of Dutchess. They're in another county, and I don't think they give it
the prevention program. That's what Carl was on.
Ask Carl.
Ask Carl.
And he quit because they were so big.
So how much
and
county money do we put toward that? Do you know?
I don't. We'll have to look that up.
Can we look that up?
Yeah.
Because I feel like...
Oh, I have no idea.
It's been a thing.
Tom had asked me to ask Carl, and Carl had a lot to say about it, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's maybe, depending on how many... It's worth looking into no matter what, but depending on how many county dollars are there, it's even more worth looking into. One thing Tom brought up meeting...
You should just have cards, man.
Tom suggested... remember, Tom, you suggested having reaching out to employees about their suggestions, and was met with... It's a great idea, but it was met with immediate shutdown from... Yes.
Yeah.
Saying,
most of the boondoggles I know about is when I was working for the county, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for one thing, like, what do you call it? We were sending tons and tons of people to inpatient programs for addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it wound up to be. Most of them were coming from probation. Mm-hmm. Now, even Bob Suttle, when he was the director, he didn't know about it. All the, you know, they were just, the officers were throwing them in there. It's costing $10,000 a pop. Once he found out about it, you know, he squashed it. But things like that, that, you know, not even the director of the program or the director of the department might not even know.
Right.
And that's why I feel like it's not the idea of looking to employees. On the one hand, it does step into operations, but on the other, it's a kind of, you could look at it in the way that Michael was looking at it as like a welcoming thing, like a way of just highlighting.
It's also the only way that we can get the, we need the information in certain cases real time on the ground, because you're not going to know that just by looking at the numbers, you know, on a sheet of paper.
And they're not going to know either.
Yeah.
No, I know. And this is where when we started this whole conversation about doing these audits, it becomes a matter in which it's like, no one's done a performance audit.
It feels very overwhelming.
Not the fifth floor, and definitely not the sixth. So.
Move to adjourn.
So move second, fifth.
All in favor?
Bye. I had to do Paul. Kenny.
Can you make sure